Welcome back to Deeper Than Dough. Today I'm joined by Kristen McAllister, speaker, multi-book author, and co-owner of Circus Executives, where she spent 15 years helping businesses grow by building leadership teams and solving complex operational problems. In this episode, we cover how she balances work with being a mom, why many entrepreneurs end up becoming the bottleneck in their own business, and how finding clarity on personal values leads to better decisions. Kristen also offers insights on hiring the right leaders, scaling businesses without losing control, and why the next generation of entrepreneurs is already thinking differently. If you enjoy this conversation, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this episode. Let's jump in. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Deeper Than Dough podcast. I'm super excited to have Kristen McAllister on the show. Kristen, welcome.
I'm excited, Ben. It's always great conversation when you get the two of us going.
For sure. Kristen, can you start us out with a minute or two of your background? Who are you?
Oh, goodness. It depends on what day and what time of day. Most of my time is spent working with business owners through Circus Executives. I place interim and fractional leadership and just help businesses grow wisely as they step into leadership needs.
And there's so many. I'm the worst person at hiring. Just like you take a skill. I was like really good at sales. So it's like, hey, cool. Now I'm a really good business owner, right? No, not at all. I've hired like the worst people. So anyway, when did you get into that and why? What was the gap in the market that you saw?
Yeah, it's crazy. So I'm one of the owners and I actually bought into the company. I was in a lot of transition back in 2009, 2010, and I married someone in the Marine Corps and you end up moving a lot. And I was trying to figure out what do I want to do next with my career? And I loved this idea of being able to step in on a temporary basis and help companies. So as I learned more and more about that, I thought, maybe this will be great. I can move all over the country. I can raise a family and have flexibility to be able to help lots of companies. Little did I know, I was going to end up on a nonprofit board with the actual founder of Circus Executives, and we would eventually do a management buyout.
Awesome. So walk us through that process then. Like that is one timeline. When did you get into it versus now and the buyout?
That was, I got into it probably about a year and a half to 2 years before we actually did buy it. I started off with just being in DC for 10 months, you know, wonderful military moves, move here, move there, and now you're back, and ended up opening up that territory. And then I came on as the fractional COO. And then we ended up doing the buy. And I can't believe that's 15 years ago. It's been a while.
Talk to me about defining success now. I mean, it's been 15 years. How are you defining it today? How will you be defining it in 5 years? Like what needs to be happening, I guess, for you to be like, yeah, this is a success for me.
This is one of my favorite things for you and I to talk about, having been through multiple businesses and situations. And that back then when I was trying to figure out what do I want to do, I laid out success by I needed to be able to move from place to place and support my husband's Marine Corps. I wanted to raise a family. I needed flexibility. And that was my measure of success. And fortunately now he's retired. My son's just going into middle school. And so now that success is how much time can I give him? How can I support him? And really get, I always steal your words, Bennett, joy and fulfillment in what I'm doing in supporting him and supporting businesses who need help.
Yeah. Okay. So I like the flexibility. I mean, it's freedom, right? I want the flexibility. I want the freedom. I've seen myself and others get caught up in like, I'm going to work, I sacrifice everything today for the flexibility and freedom, maybe in 10 years, right? It's like, am I giving up what I want in the future when I can really have it right now because I think I have to build this other world in order to have it?
That's the crazy part is we get sucked into it's something at a later date. We get sucked into just defining that business goal. I want to build a $50 million company. I want to grow and exit. I want to create a legacy. And we miss the, well, what do I want my life to be during that process? Do I want to build a $50 million company working 50 hours a week or at any personal cost? And I end up, this is one of my favorite conversations to have with business owners, having been through it and building a company that I now have a great team that really runs it, is where does that business goal intersect with your personal values? And that's that sweet spot that you really want as your North Star.
How often do you see that? Like, you're consulting, let's call it, you have 10 companies. How many companies do have that business goal intersecting with their passion, or for that matter, even have their passion or purpose defined?
Almost none. Because that's generally why we get called in, is something hasn't gone right in business, or I'd like to take myself out of it. And the conversation is always about the business goal. And that's if there's a business goal, because we get so mired down in that day to day. Usually I get to take the conversation there and have that fun conversation of why. Well, why are you running this problem? Why do we want to solve it? And it's about what do we need to accomplish, not what problem that happened yesterday you want us to come in and solve. And it's so much more fun to look at that forward-looking, where do you want to get to? That begin with the end of mind. Now let's start working backwards to get there.
I love that. And a lot of times, yeah, you don't have that end goal. It's like, I want X, Y, Z, because I hope it makes me feel good, but I'm not really going to define it. I'm not really going to look at how it's going to make me feel better. I'm just going to set that goal because I feel like that's, you know, what I should do. Like, for example, my goal was I want to be a pediatrician. I don't know why. It's like, doctors are well respected. I like kids, whatever. I don't like blood though, but it was still just like, I had to have a goal, you know, of what I wanted to be, but it really wasn't defined at all. And as soon as I started watching like surgery videos, I'm like, no, I can't do this. I'm a baby.
You wanted to help people, and you were able to still tag into, I get to accomplish what, maybe why I wanted to do that. It's just doing it in a different way. And it's reframing. What do we actually want to get to?
Yes. Because once you have that end goal, then it's like, there's a million ways to get there. But if it's just like, no, I want to get the new car, you know, but it's like, no, I want to get the car so I can feel good, so I can have time freedom. And it's like, okay, now there's so many different ways to do that. And because you're focusing on that, do you find yourself becoming almost as much of a life personal coach as a business coach? And like defining, like, because it's not about, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're going in there and it's not, what's the business goal and just how much revenue and dollars you want? No, it's what's the lifestyle? What's your purpose? What do you want to get out of it?
You know this as well as I do. Anyone else? Owning a business, there is no business, and then there's personal. The two are so intertwined. And so where the conversation might be, I want to double my business in 3 years. You've heard that one many times. It's, well, why do we want to double it in 3 years? And I want to grow it so that I can pull out $1 million for me and my family. I want to grow it doing that and spending half the time at my kids' plays or watching them on the football field. And when you change that conversation of for what purpose do we want to double the company or do we want to grow it to 20 million? In most cases, we can accomplish the reason why they want to do that, and in a much quicker, easier, less costly, less risky way.
I love it. So we talked about the passion, and you know, there's a lot of lack of direction, probably just because we're not taught that. Nobody taught me how to do that until I hired a business coach. That was the first time I made my own mission statement that came up with the joy and fulfillment. And before that, I was just like, why do I need a business coach? You know, like, what do they know that I don't, that I can't figure out on YouTube? And it's like, it doesn't matter. If I could figure out everything on YouTube, I'm not doing it. So have somebody holding your hand that's kind of been there, done that.
I've got to say that on that coach subject, this just came up recently as my son's really getting into soccer, and he's learned, my husband knew I play soccer, he learned soccer on YouTube. And I asked him, would you like a one-to-one soccer coach? I know you're on a team, but do you want one-to-one coaching? And it was this sigh of relief. He said, Mom, I don't know the correct way to do it. So right now, I'm practicing the wrong way. I am practicing to do it incorrectly. I need someone to tell me how to do it correctly. And YouTube can only do so much. And then make sure that I'm practicing
the right.
It was incredible. I thought, okay, how at 11, he's got this figured out. Most of us didn't learn about coaching until we were how old? Like, tell me how to grow my business in the right way, that's not going to serve my team. It's going to serve my life.
Absolutely. Yeah. What do you feel like the other common problems that businesses are facing? You know, you get called in, it's like, okay, maybe the first thing you're identifying is that clear vision, goal, passion. What are some other things that business owners are struggling with?
One of the biggest things that I run into in just the discussions is that becomes our identity, is owning that business, running the business, being the one with all the answers, having that CEO title. I know you've been through that transition. Is that becomes part of identity and starting to separate that identity and who I am personally and professionally to be something other than the one everyone goes to and the one with all the answers, because we are not going to be able to accomplish what the business needs if we are the linchpin of the business. And that is tough.
You become your own bottleneck. You're like, man, I want to grow faster, but I don't want to be a micromanager, but I need to make sure everything's going on, you know? And it's like, you got to pick one or the other, you know? And then the good thing is when you get to that hurdle, it is a very empowering hurdle if you come over, right? Empowering for yourself. I'm like, oh, wow, I could trust other people. Oh, wow, I don't have to be a control freak. And then empowering to the employees that are finally like, holy crap, I wanted you to, you know, about time you let go of the reins. Like, let me just do what I know how to do, what you hired me for.
That was a very eye-opening experience and a lot of self-awareness for someone who loves doing everything. I loved having all the answers. I loved being that problem solver and turning it over and letting other people do it a way other than exactly how I told them to do it and come up with a different way. Step back and say, so half those problems I was solving, I was creating, wasn't I? And the answer was, yes, you were. Because how we built the business and start the business is so different than what it needs to look at various stages. And we just, sometimes we're not the ones to be able to do that.
Job is to identify problems and then fix them, you know, and that keeps us feeling very important, whether they're high relevant items or whether they're not. It's like, oh, if I could check off a little task list at the end of the day, whether it's really making a difference and my company, doesn't matter. That's where a coach comes in. You know, you need somebody else, a coach, advisor, whatever you want to call it. But somebody to look, you know, unbiased, and they're like, okay, yes, you're doing this right, but why are you wasting all your time over here? You know, and it just takes that extra set of eyes and the humility to realize, like, okay, maybe I don't have all the answers and probably I don't.
Someone that can question you on what you're doing and how you're doing it, and they don't have to worry about getting fired for it. They don't have to worry about their career with you. That's what that coach is there to do. It's fun to go through that discussion and you really start to dive into what does a company need as a CEO. And you talk through, okay, so as a CEO then, you get the destination of vision. You give the resources to get there and you remove the roadblocks. What are you doing outside of that? They start to list what they're doing outside of that. Then you're doing three other jobs and you're way overpaying yourself for those jobs.
Yeah. Oh, and the overpaying. That's awesome. I took a startup class and he's like, you need to define, you know, your hourly worth as an entrepreneur and then hire somebody else out to do everything else. Like, for example, bookkeeping. If you're doing bookkeeping and you can outsource that for $10 an hour overseas or $20 an hour here, if you can't find something in your business that makes you more than $20 an hour, you don't have a business anyway. Like, if you can't afford a bookkeeper that costs you $20 an hour, you don't have a business. Because what it should be, it's like, okay, now that frees up 2 hours a week. And with those 2 hours a week, I get to do two sales calls. And my average revenue, if I close a sale, is $10,000. I need to be on 10 sales calls. So on those two sales calls, I'm averaging $2,000 instead of, and I only paid $40 to get that, right? Going through kind of that math and breaking that down. Anyways, for me, it was very eye-opening. I'm like, okay, no, I do need to hire that out. I need to hire that out so I could focus on, tell me what you said the CEO does. What were the three things?
The vision. What's the destination? Where do you need your team to go to? What are the resources they need to get there and help remove any roadblocks in their way that they're not able to move on their own versus that president or the day-to-day or the chief engineer or the chief brand. We get caught. Those are generally the things that we enjoy doing. Then maybe you need to hire in a CEO to do those. Or to your point, take those extra 2 hours. You have a choice. Do you put them into your business or do you want to put them into your family and your personal life? Those are your hours. What do you want to sacrifice? You're not sacrificing them now. What do you want to go do with them? Or is there a hobby? Is there a nonprofit? You start to think beyond the business. And it's amazing what can open with to your mission of joy and fulfillment.
There's a management structure called EOS. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
And they use the terminology, you have the visionary and the integrator, you know, the CEO and the operator. Mm-hmm. Do you get into businesses and see sometimes that they're not in the right? So it's like, okay, here's the CEO, you're the visionary, and then identifying roadblocks and removing them. But you're talking to them and you're like, no, this is clearly an operator, right? He's the one that's actually moving the roadblocks. Mm-hmm. The visionary's in the wrong seat or the operator's in the wrong seat. Is that common or not so much?
It's fairly common in that they're in the wrong seat or they're trying to play both roles. I think that first discussion is, which role do you want to play? What do you love and you're great at? Or what do you love and you want to get better at? Because some really want to grow into that CEO role. They started the company and they want to be that visionary. Is you can't coach them to it. And we'll put in, say, an interim or fractional CEO to sit alongside with them and help run the company and show. And once they understand that and have the tools, sometimes they're phenomenal at it. And other times they decide, oh, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
I am much happier over here.
But the point that you're getting at is it's a learned skill, right? So it's like, if you don't have the skill yet, let us teach you to get there or hire somebody else out there. But I do like that because coming from the sales world, a lot of it is like, oh, I'm not born a salesperson. I'm like, yeah, and I wasn't born a business owner, you know? But you learn it, right? You like just learn what is needed. And there are very set skills on what it takes to be CEO. I identified pretty early on, like I'm a good CEO for, you know, a company of 20 people, not for 200 people. That's not me. I don't like doing it. I don't enjoy doing it. I don't want all the phone calls. And I found somebody else to kind of do that and identifying kind of strengths and weaknesses. The other option would be, I could have said, no, I'm going to step up to the CEO role and learn how to be a CEO of a larger company. I didn't want to do that because I went back to my joy and fulfillment. I'm like, I just don't see how that's going to give me more than what I already have.
What I love about what you did and what your coach walked you through is it's almost a decision-making metrics. Whenever you're faced with a decision in your business life, you compare it to that. Does it give me this? Does it align with this? Whether that's a core value, that's a mission, that might be a family mission statement that you do or a personal mission statement. Say, does it lead to this? Most times that's a binary yes or no. And that makes that decision real easy.
So much easier. You have two people that want to buy franchises or two people that want to invest. And you're like, who do I take? This person's got this. And this could, you know, these guys can make me a little bit more money, a little bit more strategic partner. But at the end of the day, you're guessing on what might or might not make you more money. If you adjust and say, okay, out of these two investors, who is likely to add more joy and fulfillment? It completely changes the lens on how you're going to make the decision. And it makes it a lot easier because you're like, even if it goes bad XYZ, at least they're easy to work with. And I'm here to work with people that are easy to work with. You know what I mean? Rather than just like, oh, I could deal with an asshole as long as I get paid well.
Oh, I know. I can tell you no one's making that decision anymore. That is a big shift in the talent marketplace. The new saying, you can't pay me enough to work for someone like that or in that environment.
If I heard you right at the beginning, you're consulting, but you're also helping the hiring process. Is that correct? Like identifying who needs to be hired and then helping that process?
Yeah. What our team does is we're really understanding what challenges the business having, what do they need, and what expertise is needed to help them accomplish that. So they may come to us and say, I need a VP of sales. I've got a big sales problem. Can you bring in an interim VP of sales? After a 15-minute discussion, it's not a sales problem. It's a marketing problem. We need someone who has created a marketing predictable, repeatable system so that your sales team has qualified leads to be able to go close. Because right now they're marketing and sales, and you've got 10 hungry salespeople over there. Those are two very different things. Now let's go find someone who's done that 4 or 5 times before versus being handed a job description for a VP of sales and trying to go find someone who's got that 42-inch inseam, the 18-inch waistline, and has worked for these 3 industries before.
And you hire the salesperson, they're a killer closer, but who cares if they don't have any leads? And then you're like, okay, well, no, you're the salesperson, so you also need your leads. And you're like, wait. Leads are marketing, and that's a completely different skill set. That scenario that you just described, I've seen it so much. Like, I heard this salesperson, they're so good, and they're going to save my business and this and that. And I'm like, well, how? Like, what leads are you giving them? I'm like, oh, well, they're going to find their leads. I'm like, and they knocked doors for solar for 2 years and made $1 million. So yeah, they're good at sales, but like, are you going to have them knock doors again? Because they know nothing about internet marketing, right? But again, they don't have anybody from the outside saying, no, that's not your real problem. You as a founder could probably do the sales call. What you need is the leads. Leads are king for everything.
And knowing what kinds of leads, what quality leads, my ICP, there's that whole conversation, but that's a very different individual. Just where a number of times someone will say, here's what I want. I say, that's not what you actually need. They say, nope, here's what I want. All right, let's talk in 3 months, 6 months when you've tried that, and let's see how that works. Because if you're going to invest a dollar, let's make sure you're getting at least $1.10 back, not 50 cents back on the dollar. And I can tell you where that, after hundreds of situations, I can tell you where that decision's going to lead.
Again, I don't need to keep on that horse, but I feel like therapy and business coach, those two things, when I started with both of those, I'm like, holy crap. There are other minds that think differently than mine. And turns out my mind doesn't think perfectly. big surprise there.
Yeah, most people who start businesses started them because you had a specific expertise or skill set, not because you knew how to grow and start a business.
Yeah. And for me, I've definitely identified as like sales. Let me just stick with that and pair myself with the operator. Because man, I'm great at starting an SOP. Getting 10% done through it. And then I'm like, on to the next.
you and me both. Let me get it down to the red zone. I want to go on to the next football field and the next football team. You just go score all the touchdowns you want.
And it works if you can identify it and play it right. But if you don't identify it, then you just try to, anyways, shifting gears just a little bit. Okay. Going back to now you as an individual and a business owner, walk us through one of the hardest times in business, and not on the my business was about to fail side, but like if that's the case, but like I felt like I was going to die because I was going to go bankrupt. That was me, 8 months ago. But that's what, like the emotional side and how you got through that.
I think anything in business, you need a cast iron stomach. For me, the most emotional times and hardest times were hearing my son and my husband play outside, or they're going off to do an activity, and I'm at home on conference calls on a Sunday afternoon, or I'm working on a project, is when they're going off and spending time together, and I can't, because in my mind, I need to work. Because if I don't work, all these livelihoods depending on me may not have livelihoods, and everything was dependent on how hard I worked. The ups and downs of business. There's anything that's going to get thrown at you. I'm a risk adverse person. So I don't like to take bets, but you have to take bets in business. And any one of the times that those bets didn't work out was like, we're just about done here. But those fade into the distance. What I remember was, what did I need to sacrifice in order to do it? And that's the part that pulls at me as a business owner. So I'm on a mission to help business owners not have to choose because they ended up there. Let's design it how you want it and then make the decisions in order to create that design.
How old are your kids right now?
I've got one and he is about to turn 12. I know, it seems like I've got a whole gaggle. I've got one, but having had a business and married someone in the military with all the moves, it was just, it's constant change. But I love that we were able to build a business that allowed me to be virtual. Our team has always been virtual long before Zoom was a thing, to be able to have like what needs to fit into which. The business needs to fit into the lifestyle, not the lifestyle fit into the business. That dichotomy, that constant struggle was what I remember over the last 15 years, is having to so often choose between the two. And it shouldn't need to be that way.
What are some of the lessons that you have focused on as a parent on, whether it be money or business, but shifting gears to parenting as a business owner?
I think we've always told our son Cole is when you've got to be happy with what you're doing. We always do that. But I think more than anything is I start with that intentionality. What do you want to accomplish and why? And have it start thinking intentionally, why am I making this decision and what do I want to accomplish with it? Because that solves, that tells him the roadmap, that tells him the path. It's the same thing I do in business, same thing we do at business owners, but I love doing that because at his age, I'm going to, and they're going to be faced with those teenage decisions. The decision is not the decision you're making right here and now. That decision is leading to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. So decide why you're making it and what you want to accomplish, because that might change the decision you're making or make it easier. Like, who do you want to hang out with? It's amazing how we can, as entrepreneurs, we start to take that into our personal lives and we see it with our kids. And I think that Gen Alpha coming up, so my son's just on the cusp of Gen Z to Gen A, that entrepreneurial, we're fairly entrepreneurial and we may not even be the same generation. This generation coming was away. My son walked in the door a couple of months ago with a wad of cash. First thing I'm going to do as a parent, what's that? It's like, oh, we were out selling lemonade. I said, I can see the corner. You weren't out selling lemonade. He said, no, we went door to door. We did delivery because people like delivery. I'm like, how did you know that? He said, because each time we got up to the door, we asked for feedback on our sales pitch. We asked for feedback on our service.
Oh my gosh.
At 11 years old, they know how to ask for customer feedback. They know how to keep the customer in mind. And they're going to figure out how to go fill a gap in the marketplace. It's going to be so much fun to watch.
Crazy. I just was listening to a podcast. I think he's the number one YouTuber in the world, and he has been for a while. Mr. Beast. Have you heard of him?
This is where my son learned business from. I like to think it's me, and I'd love to give myself credit for that, but he's learned how to do business and marketing plans from Mr. Beast.
So I'm listening to Mr. Beast yesterday on this podcast, and it was just released a few weeks ago, but it said something about, number of subscribers, and then what's the population of America? He has as many subscribers, not people that watch his videos, because viewership is way higher than subscribers. He has as many subscribers as there are people in America. And then, like, that sounds crazy. And then he goes, and to think about this, 8 years ago, I was in high school. And I was like, what? He goes, at 12 years old, all I was doing is making videos. Somebody else just said, oh, Dirty Dough is on some other big YouTube channel just this morning. So I look up this other YouTube channel. What's this guy's story? He started doing videos at 11. That's so entrepreneur, because it's like they're watching videos and all you need is a freaking phone and some good ideas. And then you go out there. But what you're saying is way more practical than the YouTube, like going door to door, getting customer feedback. That is going to, whatever business he wants to do, he's going to use that skill, just whatever he does.
And they've influenced it in so many ways. So I think Mr. Beast alone and some of the other influencers, they've created this entrepreneurial generation by openly talking about, here's how I make money. Here's my business plan. Here's how I go about it. Here's for every this is how many dollars I get. And so they've been raised doing those calculations in their head. Wait, you and I are like, what do you mean I lost money? They're figuring out, how do I make sure I don't do that before they even started? It's going to be exciting. And I think that we'll have more to learn from them in 10 years than vice versa.
I agree with that. It's the rate that technology is increasing, and it's like, can you keep up? Younger kids have a much better advantage because they're growing up a lot more incorporated with it. So last question for you. What is a life philosophy? And this could be geared two ways, either towards Cole/children, mm-hmm. That are being raised, my kids, or to an aspiring entrepreneur? But what's a life philosophy that helps you through those, get through life, I guess?
I'm going to go back to the life philosophy that my dad told me. You get into those conversations of what's the meaning of life. And he had always told me, Kristen, the only thing you need to be happy in life is to be in service to others. And that service mentality of it's not because of me, I'm not in it for me. Am I serving others and making their lives better? That's what I would say to anyone. That's what we talk with Cole about, is it's not about you and what you want. Look at those around you. We talked about self-awareness. And he goes, oh, that's a whole lot easier. That means that they want to, you know, EQ. They want to be around me. They want to work with me. I said, yeah. He goes, well, you can be an okay company and be much better because people want to work with you. Versus a great company and no one wants to work with you. He goes, it's about what making them comfortable and having them be happy. I'm like, oh, score, nailed that one. And that's being much more aware of those around you and how you're impacting them versus yourself.
It's to both categories. I said kids or entrepreneurs, and am I serving others is a question that any and everybody should ask, even outside of those two categories. So, Kristen, I really appreciate everything that you shared with us. It's been absolutely amazing to hear your journey. Where can our listeners connect with you?
Absolutely. At seriousexecutives.com. I know that you'll have the link in the show notes. It's real easy. Or just Google Kristen McAllister. I'm about as Google-licious as they get, Bennett. There's not a whole lot of Kristen McAllisters out there. Would love to connect and continue the conversation.
Delicious. I love how Google-licious you are. Kristen, thank you so much for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you.